Would you please be seated? I have to say, it's nice to be back. Somewhat surprisingly for all of us, including myself. And my first Sunday is this joyful time when we're baptizing Sarah. I don't know how many of you know Sarah. I don't know Sarah at all, so I'm going to say all sorts of things about you. But they're general, not specific, so you're going to have to forgive me. So my first Sunday back is Holy Cross Day. And as we were preparing on Tuesday morning for this service, and I realized it was Holy Cross Day. Holy Cross isn't celebrated in lots of Anglican churches because it's a bit bleak in many ways. You know, we are so used to crosses that are beautiful and shiny and lovely, we forget that had the timing be different, we might be celebrating Holy Electric Chair Day or, you know, Holy Hanging Day. Because the cross was not a thing of beauty. It was not lovely. It was not golden. It was a particularly brutal, long and drawn out public execution designed not only to punish, but to terrify the subjugated populations that the Roman Empire tried to control. There's not much that's nice about a cross. So Holy Cross Day has to take that into account. And in a way, it starts there. Baptism isn't much better. Baptism practiced in the early church, one of the rules in the guidelines written down in the early centuries about baptism was that it should always be in running deep water. Public practice of swimming is a relatively new thing since we started putting swimming pools in places less than 100 years ago. Prior to that, nobody could swim. Even people who were fishermen off the west coast of Scotland largely could not swim. If they fell off their boats into the North Sea, they were advised to take a good long breath in of water and just sink. Today, we are symbolically going to plunge this poor woman in the deep waters of Christ's death. And if we were good Baptists, we'd have a huge font and we would hold her under until the bubbles stopped. And then we'd pull her out, dripping, spluttering, and coughing. Again, it's not the sort of thing that would encourage you to join an organization. Crosses and drownings. So, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, so what is the spirituality behind these joint symbols that come together today, symbols of death and dying? And it says you will die in the deep waters of baptism and be raised to new life. Well, only if you were very small can we manage that today. But there's a symbolism there. We don't kill people on crosses, we don't drown them in baptisms. So in what sense does this remain true? This sense of dying and rising. How do we take this theology and say, how does this engage, how does this kind of gain traction with your own spiritual practice? What's the practice that's underneath? Why do you need to bring yourself repeatedly to this place of death, these symbols of dying? A while ago, when the new Star Wars movie came out, I went to see it. I hardly ever go to movie theaters because I think they're ludicrously expensive and the popcorn's lousy. But I went one afternoon to a matinee session. There was only me and one other person in the whole place. And I saw the Star Wars movie. In terms of plot, you could have got the plot on the back of a postage stamp. But the action was intense. It was fantastic. Things were flying around. The good guys were shooting people left, right, and center. All the bad guys were falling over. It was brilliant. I came out thinking, that was so much fun, and I feel slightly guilty. And that sense of guilt sort of stayed with me until we came to that period, not all that long ago, when we had that huge, week after week after week from John's Gospel, I'm the bread of life, eat my flesh, drink my blood, suck the cartilage out of my joints. It's really grisly stuff. Honestly, the Christian faith is full of this grisly stuff. And at the heart of that teaching, Jesus is saying, take me into yourself. In Judaism, to drink the blood of an animal was to take its life in. That's why kosher food has all the blood drained out. The blood is the life. Jesus is saying, drink my life, eat my flesh. Let me come into you so that I'm not just in the top of your head in your most recent learning, not just in your heart, but in your whole body. In the same way that when we eat that little piece of bread and we drink that little piece of wine, those particles get digested and they somehow end up in your skin and your muscles and your toenails. There's an invitation to plunge ourselves into Jesus and to pull Jesus into ourselves. And the thing that made me feel uncomfortable about Star Wars was my sense of just happily drinking in that gratuitous violence, that slaughtering of the bad guys, and we knew they were bad because they were wearing bad guy uniform, and you know, so that was clear. And then we had the man who drove his truck down Yonge Street, killed people, and the person who was on Danforth shooting people. Were they not doing the same thing? But I was appalled at that. And I realized that in some way we feed our culture with these images of violence and people eat them. And I was eating them too. When you realize something like that as part of your meditating on passages from scripture or practice, the invitation is to always go deeper and say, but where am I in this? Why do I like the kind of John Wayne and afterwards images of the one good guy with whom I identify killing everybody else who doesn't really count? Why is a gun such a comforting symbol of power? Why does it make me feel better to imagine myself in that role? And I came to see that underneath that was fear. There's a fearfulness that I carry in me, quietly. Not a huge fearfulness, but a fearfulness nonetheless. My parents moved house often when I was a child, and I went to lots of schools. I was often the new kid, and I was a tall, skinny thing. Underneath here, you can pretend I'm tall and skinny. I've sort of shortened and broadened it. Anyway, besides all that, I was, you know, the new kid in school, the school bullies come to find out what they can do. And I think embedded in me in that process somehow, it doesn't really matter how, but was just this sense that life is a little unsafe. Public places are a little unsafe. Crowds of new people are a little unsafe. And I carry that quiet fear that I medicate by imagined identification with the great gunslinging heroes of movies. But that is an unhealthy medication. The spiritual medication is to actually look at the fear and allow that fear to rise and be perceived in me, which I do not like doing. I do not like even telling you now about this, and there's a little part of me that's going, don't go too far here, David. You're going to start crying if you're not careful. And I don't want to do that because it would just embarrass you and me. But there's something difficult about sitting with your fear, sitting with your sense of failure, your sense of impotence, and danger. The invitation of the theology of the cross and the theology of baptism is that again and again, you can bring those parts of you that are so close to death, so close to fear, so close to helplessness, so close to being overwhelmed, bring those to the cross. Bring those to the place where Jesus brought his fear of being manacled, his fear of being taken away, his fear of being imprisoned, tortured, mocked, beaten, dragged through the streets in a parade of humiliation, nailed to a cross and left there to hang until all strength went out of him and he could no longer breathe. You die of suffocation in crucifixion. That is plenty to be afraid of. Jesus brought his fear to the cross, and we are invited to bring our fears, all those things that we sometimes name as sinfulnesses, but underneath the sinfulnesses are our brokenness, our fragility, our anxieties, the darkness that we run away from. It is the thing that stops you from jumping into deep water when you might not be able to get out. God asks us, invites us, to find healing by bringing ourselves as close as we can to that point of helplessness and near death. I tell you this because I found in the following weeks and months a freedom. I no longer felt incredible anger towards those two men who randomly killed people they didn't even know. It's bad enough to kill someone you know, but it seems worse to kill someone you don't know. My anger was not quenched, but along with it came a sense of what pain were they in that made that seem sensible? What fear did they hold that made them grasp that tool of power to make themselves feel safe again? And suddenly I felt a quiet sense of resurrection, of being lifted up, of, I don't want to say becoming Christ-like, becoming fractionally more Christ-like, becoming slightly a nicer person, becoming slightly less judgmental, more forgiving, less angry, more compassionate. In this day of the cross and in this day of your baptism, I invite you to ponder and hold this in your heart and mind, that this is always before you. This is the route that Jesus gives, that those who can come to the cross can be lifted up into eternal life. Those who will allow themselves to drown in deep waters will be pulled up before the last bubble slips from their lips. And they will be dressed in clean clothes and brought into a new family of love. That light is beyond the darkness. Healing comes through the pain. And air comes after nearly drowning. Amen.